welcome to another episode of Planet Zorg, and I am joined by Zorg. What's up, man?
Howdy.
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Okay, so you're, how long do you think you'll live, Zorg?
Oh, I don't know. I hope quite a while longer, you know, assuming I can maintain a decent quality of life.
And do you have a good genetics in terms of like long living relatives or?
Yeah, for the most part, except my father. My father, I think, died when he was like 72. That's like the youngest I know of any male in my close family dying.
Now, is it a matter of anything under your control? Or is it just destiny?
What?
I was asking, is it a matter of is how long you live something you can control?
Well, I mean, you can, you know, take care to maintain decent health and to not do things that, you know, not walk in minefields as recreational activity, things like that. But, you know, like if you're walking down the street and a piano falls on you, there's not much you can do about that.
Right. But in terms of just genetically, is it something that you can do like as a part of a natural process, like extend your life longer?
You mean, for instance, if heart disease runs in your family?
Or something, or yeah, I mean, what is it?
Well,
that...
you would presumably take certain measures to, like, you know, reduce the risk of dying of a heart attack or something, you know. But that, it's not a guarantee, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So, but you don't have, like, high blood pressure or anything like that, right?
No, all of my vitals are good.
And you say cholesterol is irrelevant.
Cholesterol for 99.9% of all people is literal, and people will think, oh, what a crackpot. It's literally numbers on a piece of paper.
So why do they have so many people taking these blood thinners?
That has nothing to do with cholesterol.
Oh, I always thought it had something to do with...
No, it has nothing to do... You're thinking of statins.
Yeah.
Blood thinners have nothing to do with cholesterol. Blood thinners
are for people
for people whose blood is too thick. They might have too many red blood cells. There might be other factors. But it has nothing to do with cholesterol.
Oh, so it's just for people that are prone to blood clots?
Maybe. Yeah, they might be prone to blood clots. Not all of these people are prone to blood clots. And if you have a large blood clot, it can be really damaging to take blood thinners.
Right. So if you have high blood pressure, though, what would you advise people to do if they have high blood pressure?
Take medicine.
Okay, so... That's it. Just take some meds. Cause like
try to stay calm. You know, it's like keep your weight down. What I wouldn't say do is, like, you know, reduce your salt intake. Don't even worry about that shit.
Really, the sodium thing is not a big deal.
No, it's not.
What about drinking alcohol?
I don't.
But, I mean, do you think that it's something that people should stop?
No. I think that people shouldn't get drunk because I think it's immoral to do that. But, you know, that's a different issue.
Interesting. So you think it's immoral to get drunk?
Yeah, you're separating yourself from reason. It's really the one faculty that keeps us apart from the dumb beasts.
So is it immoral to intoxicate yourself in any way?
It depends on what you're doing. I'm a big fan of LSD.
Would you do it today?
Sure.
Oh, but it's, you know, it's kind of hard to find. I have some. I know, but it's not like it's something you could buy very easily these days. Although I saw somebody.
You can get the analogs though, which I understand that the one LSD analog is like very, very good.
And what's that?
I think it's a pro drug. I think it converts to LSD in the bloodstream.
And it's, but you don't know what the street name for it is?
I've just heard it referred to as one LSD. I've never taken it.
Interesting. So I mean, ever since the Grateful Dead, I haven't really, I guess
it was always good. It was always great when they came into town.
But
and
I haven't
really. It
doesn't
really happen. Like you don't see a lot of acid pop up when like Fish is in town, which I guess is interesting.
Fish is like a big ecstasy scene, or
I know nothing about Fish. I wouldn't even recognize a Fish song. I'm just not. I know who they are. I don't listen to them. You know, I do listen to the Dead, although I'm, you know, not remotely a Deadhead. But, you know, the Dead are pretty good. I listen to Dead and Co., which is the current incarnation of the Dead with John Mayer kind of channeling Jerry. They're, you know, pretty good.
Yeah, I guess if you go to one of their shows, you'll find some LSD.
I don't know. I'm not really sure. Maybe if you were friends with Bob Weir. Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
Hook a brother up. Yeah. So, Bob, if you're listening to this, you know, we like your stuff. Hook us up. Thank you.
You know, you're
a really great and underrated guitarist, Bob. And seriously, he is. It's like, if you watch the stuff and listen to the stuff that he does as, you know, essentially second guitarist in the band.
Yeah, rhythm.
He's the second guitarist. I don't know. He's not strictly the rhythm guy, but he's the second guitarist. You know, like Ronnie Wood is the second guitarist in the Rolling Stones. They're both rhythm guitarists, but he's the second guitarist. If you listen to the stuff he does, it's really impossible to get that Grateful Dead sound without Weir in the mix. You know, it's kind of like saying, you know, the Rolling Stones would have had the same sound if they didn't have the interweaving of guitar parts that they've had ever since the Brian Jones days.
Yeah, it's like the Doors without Raymond Zarek.
Well, there would be no Doors without Ray Manzarek. That's the rest of them were like too lazy to form a band probably without him.
But that sound is quintessentially his.
Yeah, you really need that. It's like, they didn't have a bass player. You know, actually on the albums they did, but on stage you never missed the bass player.
Yeah, it's pretty cool that he could do that.
I know some people who do the bass parts on keyboards. I know one guy who does the bass parts for his band using organ pedals. It's cool, you know, whatever works.
But speaking of acid, I typed the other day boomers into Craigslist, and there was a guy that claims that he will come to your door and deliver acid to you. So there's somebody. You think it's a cop?
I'd say it's 50-50 that it's a cop. If he's on the 50 side that's not a cop, he won't like really be doing this for long.
I'm surprised that that was up there. Although about 10 years ago, I typed in boomers and I found a guy who was selling mushrooms, and I actually met him, and he sold me some mushrooms. So,
were they good?
Yes, they were really strong. But the thing about it is that I was fucking paranoid. You know, like meeting him.
Sure.
I was just like, I'm going to ruin my life. Anyway, so I never did it again because I was just, we were both freaked out. You know, he was freaked out that I was a cop. I was freaked out that he was a cop. So
why was he conducting his business in such a strange manner? I mean, that's really, you know, I would not do that.
It wasn't too wise, but it was
people who are like naive dealers don't last long, even in the trip world, you know, where you would think, oh, everyone's accepting and kind and nice in the trip world. And it's like, well, not always.
No, and it can be very bad if you get busted. LSD is like,
it's hard to explain away. It's not like, you know, I just needed a few bumps, you know, to get through a weekend or to get through work or whatever. And people will actually buy this, even though, you know, coke is like, it's not a really good drug. It's kind of a nasty drug, but people will like kind of look at coke as being sort of a lesser evil than LSD or psilocybe cubensis.
It shouldn't be, though, because I think those
two
drugs.
It's stupid.
Like psychedelic drugs are, they kind of help you in a way, but like coke.
Well, nobody ever overdosed and croaked like from mushrooms. They're kind of self-limiting.
Although I have known people to completely freak out and never come back.
I don't know anyone that's happened to. Like I hear stories. Oh, Peter Green, blah blah. And it's like Peter Green's normal. He just got old. Sid Barrett. Sid Barrett was fine. There was nothing wrong with Sid Barrett. He had like some depression issues, and he probably shouldn't have been taking too much LSD. But it didn't fuck him up for a life or anything. He lived for quite a while after those episodes and recorded a few pretty decent albums. Sans Pink Floyd, you know, but, you know, a few pretty decent albums. I don't know anyone that's happened to. I had the privilege of living in the great state of Georgia for a while. And one of the really great things about the great state of Georgia, other than guns, is there's a proliferation of psilocybe cubensis because of the type of cattle that is commonly grown, the kind of beeves that are, you know, commonly farmed in the great state of Georgia, and the rye that they're fed, and the combination of the Black Angus or the Brahmin or the Brangus, which is an interbreed, and rye feed makes for psilocybe cubensis spores, which makes for mushrooms come about, you know, 6 a.m. after all the cows have pooped. And my friends and I used to go out to a few farms, you know, closer to the coast than where I lived, and pick mushrooms. And we would pick a lot, like hundreds, and, you know, do various things with them. We, you know, most of them we would make into tea because that was the easiest. But we would also, you know, there was one memorable occasion where we picked, I don't know, maybe 300 or 400 mushrooms. And we started off making them into tea. And then the party kind of broke up and it was just me and these two other guys. And we retired to the one guy's parents' house. And, you know, his parents, of course, were away. And we had people coming in and out, you know, hanging out with us for the next like 3 days. And we just continued doing mushrooms. We still had tea. We also had some, you know, like we made some ice cream toppings out of some jam mixes and stuff that we mixed with a gelatin mix that we had put some of the tea in. And then we put a lot of the mushrooms on pizzas that we had, you know, made, frozen pizzas. And we were tripping, you know, like a lot, like really, really hard. You know, people who live up here have no fucking clue what it means to really trip on mushrooms. They think, oh, I did 4 grams and I tripped my balls off. It's like, dude, 4 grams is nothing. 4 grams is like very, it's like very, very weak acid. You think you're tripping a lot. You're not. You're not even close to fucking tripping. Do a few hundred and get back to me. and at one point,
fucked up.
At one point, we did unfortunately do some things to this guy's poor parents' house. I mean, we didn't like break anything, but we did paint some of the things that we saw on the walls and ceiling.
Wow.
I could understand how that might have been disconcerting to his parents upon their arrival. Oh my God, there's a giant dog leaping down on us from the ceiling. Oh, a frog on the wall. A giant frog. Praise Keck. of course, we didn't know who Keck was or Pepe. But at one point, this guy and I, who had like ingested like more than the other guy, or maybe he just had like a major tolerance, but we were like on the floor just babbling about how we were never going to come back from our fucking trip. And we viewed this as kind of a good thing. and, you know, of course we did come back. We, you know, went on to live normal lives and whatnot. But, I do recommend mushrooms, but I generally don't do like grams.
Right. So it's something that you think can, I just think like you need a certain kind of brain to take it. Like if you're kind of like not too smart, I think it'll fuck you up.
Yeah. If you have like severe mental health issues.
Right, of course.
But, you know, you can say the same thing about marijuana. Like people are like, well, marijuana is harmless. And it's like, well, you know, I never had any real harm from it. And I did lots and lots of it. But it causes severe anxiety in some people, like serious anxiety. It causes mental illness in some people. And some people are prone to violence when they smoke it. Like, I've noticed that black people tend to be more prone to violence when they smoke marijuana. And I have no clue why this is. Like, it might be a cultural thing. It might be, like, some sort of really strange genetic thing. I really don't know. But I have noticed it. You know, it's like, okay, we're going to shoot this motherfucker now. Wait, aren't you guys really high? Yeah. But we're going to shoot him anyway.
I mean, could it be that a lot of the ghetto stuff is dusted with angel dust?
No, I don't think so.
So you think it's just actual marijuana? Because here and now I hear that they're warning that a lot of the weed is dusted with fentanyl.
Yeah, because dealers just love to fucking adulterate their product with expensive opioids and charge the same amount of money for it.
So that's bullshit.
I think that it happened like one or two times, like somebody maybe got dusted and I use the term dusted figuratively. I know that fentanyl isn't angel dust, but you know in the day when you would find out, oh, you got dusted. And it's like, oh, fuck, the CIA is beaming microwaves at my head again. Shit. and then your cigarette just lights spontaneously. This actually happened once.
But so you used to use marijuana a lot, right? But then you just kind of stopped, right?
Yeah, it was a progressive thing. You know, I stopped for a while cause I was like in jail. And then I would still smoke marijuana, but it wasn't that often, you know, I instead of doing it like all throughout the day, I would do it like maybe once or twice a day. And then after a while it was like once or twice a week. And then after a while, it was like not at all, except for like at parties or whatnot when it was somebody else's weed. And then after a while, it was just like not at all.
That wasn't a conscious decision. It just kind of fell out of it.
No, it wasn't a conscious decision. I think a lot of people just outgrow it. I don't think that you know, for a lot of people, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I think it's probably something that, like, students shouldn't do very much because it makes you lazy.
Of course, yeah, and it definitely lowers your intelligence to a certain extent, right? I mean,
it makes you lazy and it makes you do stupid shit. I don't know about actually lowering your intelligence, but you know, you act dumb, you get dumb.
Right, right. But it also interferes with your REM cycles. I know.
I never thought about that very much. My REM cycles have always been kind of fucked up, so I never really thought about that much.
So you didn't notice that when you were smoking weed that you didn't dream as much? And then when you quit, like, you dream a lot?
No.
Okay. That's happened to me. It just and I've heard that a lot, just that people can't dream when they're, like, smoking weed for a long period of time. And that's why, like, stoners, like, they're always kind of, like, real tired. You know, it's like they don't seem to
that's
be,
true.
Like, good.
It makes you lethargic. It makes, yeah.
Yeah, like, you never get, you just don't, it just seems like they're sleep deprived, you know? Like, even someone who hasn't actually gotten high, like, they're just not,
I think it just makes you lazy, you know? It makes you lazy and slow.
Yeah, yeah. And then it also kind of makes you think you're smarter than you are.
Yes. People think that, like, the silliest shit they come up with is just, like, the most clever line ever imagined. You know, oh, that was funny. And it's like, dude, only stoned people think that.
Right, right. There's a lot of stoned.
I think that a lot of the current popular left-wing mentality stems from that. I'm not saying that all these people smoke weed. I'm just saying that it kind of stems from that mindset that started in the 60s. Well, really the 50s. But, you know, for our purposes, the 60s. And I think it kind of filtered down that along with, you know, like progressive teaching, you know, translate brainwashing into leftist ideology. I think that you get like a couple of generations of people who are very, very credulous. They'll, so long as it fits their preconceived notions, they'll believe that, you know, otherwise, how would you explain? And I know that this happens on other levels with other people, but Russiagate is a prime example. You know, how do you explain this? It's like a mass delusion.
Yeah,
somehow,
conspiracy
somehow
theory.
A presidential candidate colluded, like, and they're never able to, like, define what that means with a foreign power, and that somehow this stole the election for that person. Never mind that the opposing team ran the most, like, disgusting candidate that's
right.
been run in many, many, many years, at least by a mainstream party. You know, we're not talking about, like, the Nazi party running George Lincoln Rockwell. We're talking about a mainstream party running what passed for a mainstream candidate. And the media, which was, you know, talk about collusion, the media ranting about how she had like a 98% chance, 98.2% chance of winning. This is the morning of election day. And then these people just like blindly accept the fact that, oh, because the media was proven wrong and they're obviously never wrong. Even though in other situations, these people will be completely skeptical about media reports. But because in this particular instance, when it didn't fit our narrative that we were told to have by the same media, there must be some other nefarious explanation for it.
Right. I mean, it was almost like the 9/11 inside job kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, right? the thing about things like 9/11 truthers and whatnot, there's usually a spark of truth to these things. And I don't believe that, you know, George W. Bush and Dick Cheney blew up the Twin Towers so we could go into Iraq and take their oil. That's insane. But
yeah.
And it makes, not only is it insane, it's insane because it makes no sense. We don't have any Iraqi oil. We never did. We never got any Iraqi oil. We're the biggest producer of oil on the fucking planet as of last year.
Well, remember Trump was lamenting about that. He was like, why didn't we get their oil?
Trump was trolling, as he often does.
I told him, take the oil. Take the oil.
Yeah. But why didn't we? It's, and I used to work with somebody that you remember who's now deceased, who was very left-wing, who actually just out of the blue said, what happened to all that oil we were supposed to get from Iraq? Like, she actually questioned this.
Well, I mean, I think he was going on Wolf Blitzer saying that the oil would pay for the war or something like that.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure, that fucking little neocon. But
I mean, he was full of shit himself.
But the oil didn't pay for the war. That was stupid. It's like, you know, I could actually see doing it if the oil would pay for the war, as fucking evil as that is. I could see it, you know, because it's pragmatic. It makes sense. But we didn't take their oil. It didn't pay for the war.
And then the original acronym was Iraqi, or was it like oil? It was like Operation Iraqi Liberation?
No, that's made up.
Oh, okay. I thought that was the original.
No,
acronym.
That's made up.
Okay. Anyway, so, but yeah, I mean, there was a lot of conspiracies, but they're still fucking with Roger.
I do believe that, you know, what happened with 9/11 was, I think there's a good chance that it was preventable. I'm not saying that anybody did an FDR for 9/11. I'm not going that far. But I think that there might have been, you know, a massive intel breakdown, which seems suspicious when you're talking about that many agencies.
But how far is that? Like, is that just total incompetence, or?
That doesn't give me a lot of confidence in our government's machinations if it's total incompetence. That's one explanation. Another explanation is, evil, because at least part of our intelligence apparatus does work for what is colloquially known as the war machine. So, you know, it's really hard to attribute specific things to specific causes.
Yeah.
I think if I had to guess, I'd say it's a combination. It's like massive arrogance leading to massive ineptitude with some people in important positions being like, we can manipulate this for some kind of gain. I mean, when there's war, there's profit, right? Yeah. You know?
Well, there's the whole thing of our funding of the Mujahideen and, I mean, and kind of funding bin Laden prior to this whole thing.
That's a different issue, though. That was a pragmatic issue that not just the Reagan administration did, but others before him, funding people so that, you know, the Soviet menace would be defeated. And that was kind of the genesis of funding ISIS. You know, because when you hear, Obama and McCain funded ISIS, well, they did.
Well, have you seen the movie Traitor with Don Cheadle?
No.
Okay, well, like in that, like they infiltrate a guy into like a terrorist cell, and because they don't want him to be found out, and they're afraid of moles inside their own intelligence agencies, they actually allow the guy to commit a limited amount of terrorist attacks.
Oh, because happens. No, I know. I know
they want. Yeah. So.
Yeah. No.
I
that
mean,
happens.
You can admit.
I think anyone who thinks that doesn't happen is shockingly naive and possibly retarded.
But it's hard to believe that they would allow something like that to happen and not just. But it's just like you kind of have to if you really want to infiltrate.
It's kind of like, you know. It's kind of like the movie Rush, where, you know, Jennifer Jason Leigh and Jason Patrick are undercover cops infiltrating drug rings and they're using and selling drugs. And this happens, you know, for sure. One of the chapters of the Outlaws that got taken down was like their president was a fucking Fed.
Wow.
You know, and the current iteration of the Ku Klux Klans, I should say, is largely filled with infiltrators and moles from various law enforcement agencies, all tripping over each other's feet because nobody knows who's who. This shit totally happens.
Except
the Klan isn't dangerous. They don't do shit except like have rallies.
Oh, like what do? They don't like bomb.
When was the last time the Klan was responsible for like any kind of terrorist act? It was like the 60s.
Right. But are there more militant operate that have the same kind of ideology or no? They don't.
I mean, are there threats from white nationalist and or white supremacist and or NATSOC groups? I don't know about threats, you know. I don't really have a problem with any of these people.
Timothy McVeigh?
I understand McVeigh. Like, most people don't, but I understand McVeigh. I'm not going to say, whoa, he did something good. I'm just saying it's understandable.
I mean, he was reacting to Waco, right?
Waco and Ruby Ridge, yeah, and some other shit, but mostly those two. And it's understandable. I think that, you know, it's unfortunate that he, you know, killed a lot of innocent people. I think his response from wherever he is would be collateral damage, dude. And the war machine will say the same thing.
Well, that's what Ward Churchill said about 9/11.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's what the fucking FBI essentially said about Waco.
It's like, but
so we don't have to go as far. We don't have to go as far west as Ward Churchill. We can stay right in the fucking pocket and look at like law enforcement.
So, but when they went into Waco, I remember the reporters I remember watching it as they were going in, and the reporters instantly started.
By they, you mean the FBI. You don't mean the initial ATF incursion.
All I know is I don't know exactly which one it was, but I just was watching it on TV, and then the reporter kept declaring it to be a mass suicide.
Oh yeah, that was the FBI. There are a few things. There were a few things going on, and it's never been completely clear exactly what happened. I seriously doubt that. People usually don't commit suicide by setting themselves on fire in a group. You know,
right.
Like one person might do it. Buddhist monks did it here and there in Vietnam, and you know, some lunatic tried to do it in front of the White House the other day. But
oh, really?
In general,
just recently?
Yeah, like yesterday. But in general, this is not like a mass suicide thing. Hey, let's all set ourselves on fire because the comet's coming. You know, it's usually let's take poison or let's, you know, shoot ourselves. Poison usually, because that can be controlled.
Okay.
So I never bought they committed mass suicide. One thing that I heard from someone who was somewhat connected to the case was that they couldn't verify it, but they had always suspected that Koresh was running a meth lab and that this had nothing to do really with firearms, which makes a little sense because you're talking Texas here, you know. It's not like people are devoid of firearms in Texas. The Branch Davidian compound, in fact, had fewer weapons per capita than Texans per capita. Texans have a lot of weapons, man. I know. I go down there from time to time.
Yeah, it's like the Wild West.
It's not the Wild West, and you don't see people walking down the street strapped. But people have guns, and you know, they're like potato chips. You don't stop with one.
Right.
So I never really understood the whole, oh, we're going to get him for guns. Oh, he was converting guns to automatic fire, but it turned out he wasn't. He just had regular old guns.
So he wasn't doing anything untoward?
But like I said, they suspected he was running a meth lab.
But that was never reported.
No.
Why would they report that?
Not right? If they couldn't confirm it. And the whole thing post Waco, the whole thing presented a very poor optic. I don't think that they really wanted to muddy the waters too much with, you know, further slanders. It didn't.
I mean,
really
they're saying he was committing pedophilia.
I don't think anyone was saying pedophilia. I think they were saying he was fucking teenage girls. That's one of the perks of the job.
No, but he was okay. He was having sex with underage.
Why on earth would you want to be a cult leader if you couldn't fuck young girls and other people's wives?
Yeah,
it's a thankless job. Look what happened to him.
True. Are there any Davidians still existing, like that worked with David Koresh?
Sure, sure. I think there were like 19 survivors from the compound. They were all put on trial for various offenses against the state. They were all acquitted, except for like, you know, two people who were Canadian and who were found guilty of being here illegally. So they sent the fucking snow Mexicans back.
Snow Mexicans. But I mean, it never like turned into a religion of Davidianism or.
You mean, are there still Branch Davidians practicing? I don't know. Probably somewhere, because you can't forget there are people in the Middle East, and I've met them, I've seen them, who worship John the Baptist. There are people in Asia Minor, and I know this, I've met them, I've seen them, who worship Pythagoras as a god.
Wow. And what about Epicurus? No?
Well, I think many of us worship him just in practice.
Just hedonism in general. but do you, I mean, so when you look at like David Koresh, I mean, was he an idiot? What was he?
He was definitely not an idiot. That's like saying the Unabomber was crazy.
Oh, the Unabomber was not crazy?
Very few people are as sane as the fucking Unabomber.
Man. So what made the...
Have you read Kaczynski's manifesto?
No, I have not.
Oh. Well, if you read it, you'll know why I say, no, he's not crazy at all. What's really funny is they tried to play him up as being crazy. Like, oh, ha, ha. He said that the CIA was conducting surveillance on him using drones. And then it turned out like, and we found his position using drone surveillance.
So what's your opinion of like Julian Assange now that he's been arrested?
Well, we need to see what happens. The United States thus far is being very careful only to charge him with conspiracy to hack, basically. I forget the actual name of the statute that's violated, but essentially conspiracy to acquire protected passwords.
Right.
Which is a pretty minor crime. Like, if you really, really did it bad, you'll get 5 years and you'll serve one. So they're being very careful not to charge him with things that people could go, that infringes upon his freedom of speech as a journalist, man. I'm not suggesting that he really is a journalist. He's someone who, you know, repeats things, which, you know, if you consider that journalism, cool. I might consider it journalism if someone presented a convincing argument to me in its favor. I don't know. But I think that here's the thing. Assange has never been proven wrong. Like, people even stopped contesting it when the fucking when the DNC and Podesta dumps and Clinton dumps occurred. Not one person, like, there were some weak denials at first about the Podesta shit, because, you know, you could deny it because it just sounded so crazy. But then they're like, well, these are his emails. Like, this is his email account. It's not spoof. And he's not denying it. And the person who conducted the ritual says, yes, it occurred. He was there. He did it.
Semen and the semen cake.
Cakes of light. It's not just semen. There's menstrual blood in it, too.
And you need that.
Otherwise, you don't have a proper cake of light. Do these people know nothing about baking? But spirit cooking. So no one has, and everyone loved Assange when it was shit that pointed to, like, various atrocities perpetrated by the Bush-Cheney regime. You know, everyone was like, oh, Assange, he's the man.
The left.
No, yeah, it wasn't until, like, whoops, Obama's, like, a real madman. And, whoa, Clinton is insane. It wasn't until those issues popped up that all of a sudden Assange is a bad guy and a Russian asset. And it's like, well, why doesn't he, like, leak things on Trump? And it's like, there's nothing on Trump that hasn't been public knowledge. Even right. The stuff that we get presented to us is like, did you know that Trump did this? Yeah, I knew that 20 years ago, dude.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, Trump's been kind of an open book.
Trump is probably the most open book of a president of anyone since George Washington.
Yeah, yeah. That's why none of the attack ads really work against him.
It's hard to justify that shit when the guy's like, yeah, I did it. So what? Yeah, I cheated on my wife. So what?
And like, the whole, like, everyone thought that Hollywood Access tape would be such a big bombshell, and no one cared about that. I mean, just...
Yeah, absolutely no one. Billy Bush cared because he lost his job, but, you know, no one cared. I mean, why would they? I mean, people still bring it up. It's all on the left. It's like, and he's a self-confessed rapist, and it's like... I have three words for you that are direct quotes attributed to Trump when he said, you know, this entire thing. They let you.
Right. Consent.
Now shut the fuck up. And yeah, and he's not saying I do these. He's not saying I walk up to women and I grab them by the pussy. He's saying
you could.
They'll let me.
Yeah. You could.
You know,
you
which
could do
is,
it.
And it's like, you don't even have to be a billionaire. Like, I can do it, even at my, like, advanced age and state of decrepitude compared to, like, what I used to be. I'm charismatic. You know, I have a big wiener. I can do that. They'll let me.
Right. I mean, you're not even a celebrity, although maybe you are.
Apparently I have a fan club in Australia. Which I find really bizarre. And when I was in Fort Worth in October, I was my girlfriend was downstairs, like, having a cigarette, and I was up in the room eating or something. And she met these English guys, you know, like maybe four or five English guys, and They're just basically like, you know, what you doing here? And she's like, well, you know, I'm from the area, but, you know, my boyfriend's visiting, so, you know, I'm staying with him at, you know, this establishment. And they're like, well, what's he doing? She goes, a few things, but, you know, he does this podcast webcast thing, And she's talking to them, and the guy goes, "Wait, you're Zorg's woman?" And she's like, "Yes." And he goes, "We love him. He's a fucking mad cow. Hey, hey, Ian, this is Zorg's woman." And the guy's like, "Oi!" You know, so it's not as though I'm like completely without a fan base. How this happened, I have no fucking clue. Maybe you know, I don't know.
Well, I did notice, like, I looked at some of the stats, and yes, there's like a lot of people in the UK and Australia listening. So,
well, at least they speak English, God bless them, of a sort.
So we'll have to give a shout out. I don't know. I'm not really good at doing any of their accents, but they're,
yeah, no, I mean,
they're,
I don't like to, because it doesn't sound right. It's like, you know, it's like if I were to imitate someone from Texas.
but that's cool. I mean, but I guess, yeah, we have some pictures of you up on the page here, so I guess they would recognize you that way. But
Didn't see me. They were like, "Where is he?" And she goes, "Well, he's upstairs in the room eating breakfast." And they're like, "Well, tell him said hi."
That's funny.
So you're
saying that Assange, I mean, first of all, I don't get why he was holed up in that. I mean, did he just plan to stay there forever? I mean, what was his plan?
Okay. A lot of people really hate Assange, and like, everybody knows that the Kenyan had a hit on him. Hillary Clinton also had a hit on him. Now, both of these fine individuals also had a hit on Snowden. Snowden, now, he's a tricky one, because you look at the bulk of what Assange has done, and you can pretty much discern that his essential motive is transparency. I think most of us can agree on that, you know, except for the people who are like, "He's a Russian asset, goddammit." You know, but I think most, like, objective, non-retarded people can look at a Julian Assange and say, if I had to think of a reason for why he does this, it's because he values transparency. If you look at an Edward Snowden, I don't think it's quite that simple. I think that Snowden, and I'm not saying like he's a dummy or anything, but Snowden's motives, at least on the surface, seem suspiciously like one world type motives, you know, like Julius and Ethel Rosenberg. So I'm, and you don't get to stay in Moscow for free when you're on the lam. It's not like you can just, you know, say, "Hi, Vladimir, this is Ed Snowden. Like, Obama's after me. Can I stay with you?" And he's like, "Yeah, sure." You know, I don't think it works that way.
But how valuable could he be at this point?
Dude, my understanding was he took several terabytes of fucking information with him. Enough information to last anyone for, like, decades.
Oh, so he could just kind of sell it for money.
Well, or for, like, room and board.
Room and board.
In the former Soviet Union. That's my understanding.
He won't be pardoned. You don't think Trump will pardon him?
Snowden?
Yeah.
Snowden?
Yeah. I mean, people have been trying to get a pardon.
I see no reason why Trump would give him a pardon. If he ever goes to trial, it'll be for selling government secrets, not for some bullshit hacking charge.
Okay. So they're going to bring Assange here. They're going to try him.
Maybe. Like, the international extradition law is incredibly complex. And there are a lot of factors that come into play here. So maybe the UK government, who certainly hate him, will extradite him to the United States government. Then we have to examine who's responsible for this. Like, is this Trump? And if it's Trump, is it because he hates Assange? Or because he's grateful to Assange and wants him to, like, basically release information on the Clintons and Obama and then just pardon him for any infractions. Now, this is like one instance where Cotard theory might intersect with reality. Pardon me, it's possible. But I think more likely what's happening is this is just deep state swamp shit that Trump can't or won't stop. It's not like, you know, the president has total control over everything. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
But what, he could do is just pardon the guy for, like, whatever he gets convicted of and any future crimes. He could certainly do that. You know, people are like, well, Assange is a traitor. It's like, what's he done to Australia? He's an Australian citizen. You know, he's certainly, you know, you can call him a lot of things, but a traitor is not one of them. He never even lived in the United States.
I mean, I just don't get, like, why he was, is it just because he was facing a sex charge that he was holding up there?
That was just the start of it. And people were trying to kill him. Like any charges that were brought against him were nonsense. It was like, just like this is kind of a nonsense charge. It's like, get him out in the open and kill him. But
I just don't understand how he could be anyone at any place. I don't understand why he had to be him there to disseminate the kind of information that he did. I never understood why he was so important in terms of disseminating this information. Like, couldn't that information be disseminated through somebody else?
Apparently it can. It has been. Like, last night there was a massive WikiLeaks dump.
Right. So it's like, but he's not...
These are not organized people. They're not used to working in concert. They're used to working individually or in blind cells. So in terms of, like, getting together, like, and I don't know if you've seen the dump. It's on my Facebook page. There's a lot of, you know, like, when I say a lot of shit, I'm talking like a lot of volume of shit. Like terabyte upon terabyte. And this is not the dead man's switch. You know, for you people who were wondering, is this the dead man's switch? It's like, no, this is a warning. Oh. Don't fuck with me.
Yeah. I mean, so is it a warning for the arrest because of the arrest of Assange?
Yes.
Okay. And are they going to try to get Assange to give information about WikiLeaks?
Maybe. I mean, it all depends on who's orchestrating this. You know, is this CIA? Is this Trump? Is this Obama? Is this some unholy alliance between the media and U.S. and U.K. intel? Yes. But, you know, these are all questions that have to be asked.
I mean, I look at it that he was essentially arrested for helping Trump out.
Nobody thinks that.
I mean, that's the general conspiracy theory.
Nobody thinks that. Nobody who actually understands, least of all the people who were, like, you know, trying to get him extradited, none of them think that. Nobody thinks that. He didn't get Trump elected. Hillary Clinton and Barack Hussein Obama got Trump elected.
So his leaks or his dissemination of the WikiLeaks stuff didn't help Trump?
No.
Yes, it did.
No. No, of course not. No. You're looking at this all wrong. You need to look at it in light of like all presidential elections. At that point, which was, you know, very late in the game, everybody's mind was made up. Nobody wakes up and goes, gosh, am I going to vote for Hillary or am I going to vote for the Donald? Nobody did that. Nobody.
I think a lot of people stayed home. after the DNC, like a lot of Bernie guys.
Actually, like in the reality world where there's reality, there was a very good turnout for that election. One of the higher ones. So no.
But not for Hillary. I mean, she got a lower turnout than
Obama. No. That's not true either. She won the popular vote, remember?
But in
there
key
was,
states,
there was in historical terms a pretty large turnout. Larger than, let's say, 2012.
Obama's numbers, I mean, from what I understand, Trump did not outperform Romney.
Yes, he did in several key areas. He outperformed. Yeah. I mean, I don't know about like outperforming him. Like, did he get more votes? Yes, he did. Did he get more votes from black people? Why? Yes, he did. Like almost three times as many. Did he get more votes from Hispanic people? You betcha. Did he get more votes from women? Yep. But they were all white. Yeah, whatever. Go fuck yourself. Trump, in most respects, Trump outperformed Romney. Romney was, and you remember me saying this at the time, he was a fucking joke candidate. He was, I'm not saying that he deliberately threw the election, but I think he didn't understand that he was a patsy.
Right.
Could Obama have been beaten in 2012? You bet. You know, Romney could have beaten Obama in 2012 if he'd run any kind of campaign.
But I know that Hillary underperformed Obama in the black vote, for example.
Sure. Of course. What do you expect? I mean, you think that black people are like complete morons? They're going to be like, and of course this is hand in hand with Trump outperforming Romney 3-1 with the black vote. Where do those black people come from? I don't think they came out of a vacuum, but I don't think that her stunts, like talking like some fucking cartoon Disney Negro, I'm in no ways tired. You know, who the fuck talks like that? Do you know people who, you know, anybody, black, white, whatever, you know, anybody who talks like that outside of Uncle Remus? You know, what is an item that you carry that you can't go without? My hot sauce. See, I've got hot sauce. I'm going to put it on this pork rind. It's like, you think black people on the whole appreciated that shit?
Yeah, it was stereotyping.
It's basically saying you are a bunch of fucking retards. Vote for me though, but you're fucking idiots.
Yeah.
Vote for me as many times as you can, please. But you're fucking stupid as fuck. You know? I mean, and sure, she always had, you know, a core black following that just wouldn't change. Just like, you know, Donald Trump has a core following that isn't going to go away, or Barack Obama, or Bill Clinton, for that matter. Any of those, even Mitt Romney. Well, no, not so much. Everybody hates him. her core of black voters couldn't be compared to Barack Obama's. I mean, let's not forget that a lot of people crossed party lines. A lot of white folks crossed, you know, black people don't get anybody elected into the White House. Let's be real about this. They don't. They just don't. They never have. They never will. But it's a good indicator of what's trending. You know, if you see, Trump got, you know, 20% of the black vote, as opposed to, you know, Romney getting like 8% or whatever. You know, I'm just making these up. I don't know what the actual figures were. It tells you something about how various politicians are perceived by black folks in general. You know, and you know, I know blacks tend to vote Democrat. God knows fucking why. You know, here, have some more of that welfare. Have some more gelt. Have some more shekels. You'll like it. Just don't get married, Laquanda. Don't get married. Have those kids. Just don't get married. You know. And I think at least in my circle of acquaintances, I'm seeing more and more black people who are like, what the fuck, man? These people treat us like we're on a goddamn fucking plantation. And then the instant we question anything, all of a sudden we're niggers and coons and Uncle Toms.
Yeah, well, look how they treat black conservatives. I mean, that's kind of how tell.
That's how it starts. It's like, you know, Clarence Thomas was right when he said this is a lynching.
Yeah, look what they're doing to Candace Owens.
Candace Owens. It's like, what has she said that's so fucking offensive? She said things about Hitler. Yeah, she said he was a bloodthirsty maniac. Do you have an issue with that? Really?
They took a part of her quote.
She made Lou and Nadler look like the idiots they are. You can't call a member of the House stupid. I didn't call him stupid. Read the transcript.
I know. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, and she's smart as a fucking tack. You know, sharp as a tack, I guess. I shouldn't mix my metaphors too much. She's young. She's like 29, I think. She's attractive. And she thinks well on her feet. You know, and there's people in the right-wing world who are like, she's just another fucking poser. But, you know, I don't think so. I think that she's I don't think she's ever going to be president or anything. But I think that she has a good – I think she has a good following, and I think that she's got a really good track record. She hasn't really been wrong, you know.
Yeah, she hasn't. But in any case, I thought when they dumped all those DNC emails right before the convention, I think it did cause a bigger rift between the Bernie people and the Hillary people.
Oh, sure, like, sure. But it was a rift that was going to occur anyway, and Bernie Sanders tried to repair it by essentially just, you know, turning coat and saying, I'm with her. You know, there was no way around those events. That rift would have occurred with or without WikiLeaks, and it didn't affect the election at all. Let's not forget, hours before the election, Hillary Clinton, it's scientifically shown that Hillary Clinton has a 98.2% chance of winning. Let's not forget, never, ever forget that.
Well, that shows you that shit doesn't work.
Which is why nobody believes polls anymore. It's like, you know, 103% of the people think that Donald Trump is the devil. It's like, oh, okay, thanks.
But even Donald Trump cites polls now and then.
Of course. It's good for propaganda purposes. Of course he does. But let's not get too carried away with the polls. You know, let's not do this 98.2% shit.
Well,
like,
they're doing it again.
Who's
they're
there?
Doing it again and, with 2020, aren't they?
The only thing I've seen is like Trump polls at like over 85% among Republicans, which isn't really surprising.
No, what I'm saying is they're underestimating Trump once again for 2020.
Sure, they've got no choice other than to do that. The Democrats have and I, you know, like, I hate Democrats. You know, I absolutely hate Democrats. Like, I'd kill them all if I could. But just kidding. not really. Sorry,
okay.
Not sorry. The thing is, like, the Democratic Party used to be an actual viable political party. And it's not like all of a sudden Trump came along and they weren't anymore. It's like they hadn't been for a few years, and Trump came along and exposed that. And it's not just the Democrats. It's really the Republican Party as well. And this is why, like, when you see these figures, like Trump polls at 90% with Republicans, that's not the fucking politicians. 90% of them hate him. I'm going to guess that's a conservative estimate. You know, I think you if you like delved into Congress, you'd find only a few, like a handful of guys in both chambers that actually would support Trump. You know, Rand Paul would be one of them, even though he often speaks critically of Trump. But Rand Paul is a guy who has always spoken his conscience, regardless, you know, of the political fallout. And when push comes to shove, he'll back Trump.
What about Graham? Is Graham full of shit, or is he posing to be a friend of Trump?
Graham is of course swamp, but he, for whatever reason, I don't know, like maybe John McCain had pictures of him or something. ever since
you mean
McCain,
maybe Trump had pictures?
No, I mean maybe John McCain had pictures, and you know now he doesn't because he's in hell. Ever since John McCain went to hell after his brain exploded, Graham has been like not necessarily a defender of Trump, but a defender of Trumpism. And someone who actually kind of pointed out hypocrisy of the opposition party, you know, like the Kavanaugh hearings. Come on. You know, do you think that this actually won Democrats anything? Like people are like, oh, there was a blue wave. Dude, there's always a blue wave, you know, if a Republican's in the White House and it's a midterm, with the exception of 2004. But this was not like a wave. It was like a ripple. 30-odd seats. It's like, how many seats did Obama lose? In 2010, it was like 68. It was a massacre.
It was.
So it's the kind of thing when you look at like that many seats, you can say this is kind of a mandate here. When you look at 30 seats, you can say that's just equalizing things a little bit. And it's not like. It's not like
it's
the House
historical
has been organized since last November. It's like, whoa, we're going to impeach the president and we're going to raise taxes. And it's like, no and no. No, you're not. No, you're not.
That's it.
And then they decide they're going to impeach the president like about once a year. Well, actually, it's been exactly once a year. They've done it twice thus far. So.
Yeah, they're flailing, but we'll see. So they didn't get the Senate, so I mean that would have been a real wave, I think, if they got.
They lost
the Senate,
They did pick up Kyrsten Sinema in Arizona for Flake's then vacant seat, but if you actually look at Sinema's voting record. She's essentially Republican light. Yeah, she's not very conservative, but she's certainly not like very liberal.
Right.
People are like, oh, well, she's bisexual. What's that? So Milo is a homo and he's a fucking Nazi.
Milo. He got himself into some trouble. Is he still around, Milo?
Oh, yeah. He's doing well. Milo's doing okay. You know, I like Milo. He's a degenerate and a Jew. But he's our degenerate Jew, and he's useful. You know, I mean, by all means, kick him to the curb.
You like Miller, right?
Yeah, of course.
Stephen Miller?
Yeah, sure, you bet. Yeah.
So he's
I'm not
a good
saying
Jew,
I'm not right? saying that to, I'm not saying to dislike all Jews. Just Jared Kushner.
And you like Netanyahu, right?
I think he's the best alternative. Like I'd rather have, you know, somebody else, but there is nobody else.
Who would you rather have than him? I mean, what's wrong with him?
Like I said, there is nobody else.
Yeah, but what faults do you find with him?
He's too much of a Zionist. He
really
he neglects. Yeah, he neglects proper optics. You know, it's like you're 80% on the windy side of things. You know, present it that way. Don't be like, and yeah, we're going to bomb the fuck out of these sand coons. You know, it's like, you know, don't do that. I mean, do it, but don't talk about it like that.
I see. So you're saying he's too open about his plan.
He presents a poor optic, and it's not like Israel's a necessary evil. People don't get this. People who slam Trump for being pro-Israel. It's like, what do you expect him to do? Put them in concentration camps? And as much as I appreciate people with NatSoc tendencies, like, if you seriously think that you're going to put a NatSoc in the White House, you're out of your fucking mind.
I mean, who is a NatSoc?
It's not going to happen.
Who would it be? I mean, who's an American politician that...
Dr. Dukes?
Oh.
Duke. Bill Dukes is an actor who's black. David Duke, maybe, who's like pretty, I don't know if he's actually NatSoc, but, you know, he's in that region, and he's very, very intelligent and sees things very, very clearly. You know, I don't have any kind of problem with David Duke, even when he like does things like back Ilhan Omar, because he's doing it for understandable reasons. But, you know,
I see.
Ilhan Omar doesn't understand the concept of optics either. She's kind of like the anti-Netanyahu. She's the anti-Netanyahu. She's like, and we're going to kill the Jews. I mean, what I mean is they're mean to people. I mean, their government, never mind. You know,
she's the gift that keeps on giving, isn't she?
She's not doing her fucking party any favors. You know, this is another thing that's contributing to the demise of the Democratic Party is bomb throwers like Omar and that little terrorist Tlaib, the little fat, ugly one. They're not doing the... I understand. You know, you have an agenda. You want to further it. That's not the way to do it. You're preaching to the fucking choir. You're going to get a bunch of college kids excited, and then you're going to lose again and again and again.
What about AOC? Her too, right?
AOC is a right wing troll. She's probably funded by the Nazi party or something.
What?
AOC is a right wing troll. She's one of us. One of me.
No.
Yes.
She's a socialist.
No, she's not. I mean, she's a national socialist, maybe.
Really?
No,
what makes you say that? That's an interesting view.
Like,
I've never
heard
that.
I recognize a fellow good guy when I see one.
Interesting. So you don't have any problem with her?
And you know what? She desperately needs her fart box tongue punched.
So, because they're on Fox News,
she's white enough.
They mention her like constantly on Fox News. Like, she's like, they love her.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, it's only fair because, like, you know, CNN and WAPO and the New York Times constantly mention Donald Trump.
And it's weird. I don't see her mentioned that much on CNN or.
No, because they're bomb throwers and they're stealth followers of hers, which shows how stupid they are. It's like you're listening to a fucking person who's trolling you.
So you would vote for her for president if she ever ran?
She's not going to run.
Right.
Her job will be finished by the time she's 35.
You mean she'll be out of office?
Yeah, she'll have already accomplished whatever she needs. There won't be any Democrats by that time.
Oh, the Democratic Party will be dead?
Yeah, maybe the Republican Party too, which, you know, won't cause me to shed any fucking tears.
Okay. So who's going to be the Democratic nominee this time around?
Well, we're going to have to, like, to make that assumption, we're going to have to assume a few things, a few other things than assuming who the nominee is going to be. If the political landscape stays the same, it will be Biden if he runs. But now, Obama has forbidden Biden to run. This is well known in the Beltway.
Why?
Because Biden's a fucking liability to the party. Obama's not stupid. He didn't get to be the king in exile by being an idiot.
So he just thinks you're a born loser. We don't want you.
Yeah, pretty much. He didn't let him run last time. You remember this, right? That's how we got Hillary.
Yeah. Don't you think he would have done better than Hillary?
I think he would have done about the same. I think he would have presented better optics than Hillary.
Yeah.
But, you know, he has his own gaffes, but they're not as bad as basically saying that half the country are fucking awful people.
Yeah, he wouldn't have done that. He wouldn't have said something so stupid.
No, he wouldn't have done that. He would have done something else that was, like, not as bad and way more funny.
He probably would have done something racist.
Maybe. Like, you know, he's had, like, these little racist slips. And that Barack Obama, he's certainly he's a well-spoken Negro. It's like, what
articulate.
The fuck, man? He's articulate and well-spoken. What? What's wrong with that? It's like, dude, you're making everyone cringe and poop their pants. Stop.
Yeah, and then the touchy stuff is getting on him. I mean, it's going to be tough.
We've known this for years. And you know what's really funny? Like, I know everybody who disseminates everything on the right. Like, we pass stuff on, but this stuff isn't coming from us.
Oh.
It's coming from his party.
Okay.
And he says it's Sanders. I'm not so sure that it's Sanders. I don't think it's Sanders.
I don't think it's Sanders. He doesn't do that shit.
Sanders has bigger fish to fry. Sanders is the front runner right now. He won't receive the nomination because they'll be fucking hanged before they fucking nominate a Jew. But you know,
they hate him. I mean, so many people in the Democratic Party hate him.
They hate him. The only person they hate remotely as much as him is Hillary Clinton.
So who does the Democratic establishment want in there?
They want someone who appears to be progressive to appeal to that loony left faction, but in fact is a fucking neoliberal, which is just slang for neocon with a D next to its name. So I'm going to say Harris.
Yeah, Harris is the one. She's like the female Obama.
Except not, but kind of. You know, like I think Obama went into this whole thing not realizing how manipulated he was being, you know, how much he was being manipulated. And I think that, you know, once he was in office, it's like, you know, the weight of the office it imposes an inexorable path upon the occupant of the Oval Office. I don't really see Obama having been able, given the history, to have done things any way other than what he did, with the exception of Obamacare. He could have pushed that in a different direction.
Right. But he got dictated to on that too, probably.
Yeah, he did. But he could have been like, dude, at least give me these three things, you know? And you know, one of them being a more coherent plan that actually would get some Republicans behind it. Because not one single Republican voted for it.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Which is shameful. That's fucking awful. As far as, like, the Obamacare being the wealth redistribution plan that it became, I'm not sure how much of that was his machination, you know. I suspect pretty little.
Yeah.
It's not the president doesn't make laws. You know, I mean, like, and both Obama and Trump have, like, essentially written laws on the fly through EO, but that's not the same thing.
Right. All right, well, I guess, yeah, I think Harris is definitely the one they want.
Harris who would the running mate be? The potential running mate? Definitely not Warren. She's out. She's
no,
done.
I think Buttigieg, Buttigieg.
Yeah, Buttigieg. Maybe, because they're really fucking touting him in the lefty press.
They love
the
him.
Righty press. The righty press too a little bit because he's not a threat.
Right.
You know?
They want him. They would love to see him.
I wouldn't mind if the little twink ran, you know. Well, he announced today that he is in fact running, but they could he's problematic for the party though. Like he's done things that could be construed as having racist effects. He also governs.
Right.
Governs.
He said
mayors,
all things matter. God forbid.
Yeah. He mayors a city that's in the top 30 in terms of violent crime. People love to point out that it's not even in the top 25. No, it's in the top 30. It's like number 29. Which you know that's not appealing either. And the fact that his big selling point seems to be that he takes it up the ass.
Right. That's just, his only selling point.
Yeah. It's like, I'm talking to a friend of mine who's quite lefty. And I'm like, this was like a month or so ago. I'm like, I don't really know anything about Buttigieg. And she's like, oh, he's wonderful. And I'm like, could you tell me what exactly about him is wonderful? And she's like, well, he volunteered to go to Afghanistan. I'm like, so you think that's a nice war and very good? You know, he's gay and he fights.
That's
he's it. Married. And I'm like, you know, but there's lots of people who are gay and married. I know like three of them, you know, all married to each other. But that doesn't qualify them to run the country. You know, like what does he have? Like any look on his website? I have it's remarkably devoid of substance. And I mean, he's cute. You know, you kind of want to pet him on his little head. I don't have a problem with him being a homo. I have a problem with him running as a married homosexual. I think that's just like too funny and it's too open to jokes.
Right.
So
we're not ready for it. I don't think.
I think he's out as a VP nominee. Because remember he's a step away from the presidency.
Right.
Not that anyone would really like try to assassinate Kamala Harris. Let's kill the what is she again? Is she a Negro? No, she's not a Negro, Clem. Oh, well, let's not kill her then.
She is right.
Her father's from Jamaica, but he's not. He's like a Michael Manley type Jamaican. He's like maybe a quarter. So she's like an octoroon or something, you know. Which, I mean, does she look very black to you? I mean, there are black people who have that skin tone, but does she really look like a negress to you? She doesn't look like a negress to me.
She doesn't. She looks like an Indian.
She looks white. She looks white with darker skin. And I don't really care either way. It's like not my business what she is, but you know, all of a sudden she's like, I listen to Snoop and smoke weed. You know, what the fuck is wrong with you? You know, but yeah, okay. So maybe like an O'Rourke, if they could kind of keep his ass in line, he just talks too much.
Yeah, he's a pussy.
But I'm going to say more of a dark horse guy like Hinkenlooper, you know, as a VP. you know, because like nobody really they know he has an odd name. They know that he's a Democrat, and that's it.
Right.
You know, I don't
right.
even know. I couldn't pick him out of a lineup. I know that he's white. I'm guessing he's white. I don't really know because I've never seen a picture of him. But I'm guessing he's a white male around 55, which makes him indistinguishable from most political candidates. Does he have like a known platform? It's probably the usual, you know, like quasi right wing crap that most Democratic politicians try to push on us. So I'm going to say not necessarily him, but someone like him.
Right.
It can't
right.
be someone. It can't be someone like people are like, oh, the dream team, Harrison Booker. And it's like Booker is like the biggest liability in the Democratic Party around. Harris at least is smart. Like she's a pretty smart cookie. She didn't get to where, I mean, I know that she blew her way at least partially to where she is, but you don't just keep on blowing and blowing.
She blew herself smartly.
She knows what she's doing, and she knows the effect of what she says and does when she says and does those things. So you look at her voting record. It's your standard Republican bullshit, you know, from a Democrat.
Right.
And I'm channeling Frank Zappa now, who's like, I remember like years ago, Frank Zappa and Donny Osmond and Tipper Gore. And this was before, this is when, I think it was when Reagan was president. Bush might have been. I think Bush was president. Bush 41, who recently died. And they were on Nightline, Ted Koppel Nightline. And they were debating the PMRC code. You remember the PMRC code, right?
No.
Oh, Tipper Gore was the head of this like concerned citizens group.
Which oh, was yeah, front yeah,
group.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were a front group for God knows what. And she was, you know, very stridently telling everybody that, you know, we had to have, you know, like control over that music these kids listen to, you know, shit like that. And Donny Osmond, who's a pretty smart guy, and Frank Zappa, who was, you know, also a pretty smart guy, were basically just like gaping at her, you know, the shit that she was saying. And at one point she holds up a copy of Wasp's first album, the actual vinyl album. And she says, look at this, look at what it says, animal, F-U-C-K, like a beast. And I'm like making a note, buy Animal, Fuck Like a Beast by Wasp tomorrow, you know. And Koppel says, so, Donnie, what do you think of all this? And he goes, he's like, you know, people think I'm a musical lightweight because, you know, like I'm a Mormon and I have a family and, you know, I record like kind of silly pop music and whatnot. But, you know, this is a speech issue, and it's also an issue of money. And he's like, as wholesome an image as the one that I represent is, if you started putting G ratings on my music, which I would surely get, it's going to kill my sales. He's like, I don't want that. And he's like, well, Frank, what do you think? And Zappa goes, I got to tell you, I've listened to like some strange shit in my lifetime. And this is just more of the same old Republican bullshit I've been hearing for the last 30 years. And she goes, I'm a Democrat. My husband is. He's like, I know who you are. I know who your husband is. I'm just saying, if it fucking smells like a Republican, it's a fucking Republican, no matter what fucking letter you slap on it.
Frank
Zappa also said that politics, the political arena, is the entertainment division of the military-industrial complex. But it's like my favorite Zappa quote of all time.
He's a very wise man.
Yeah, he was a very, very smart guy, you know, and and a very underrated guitarist. People really don't understand like how sophisticated his guitar work became. Right? Initially, it wasn't that great, which was why he always had, you know, really incredible guitarists in his band. But over time, his guitar work, and he had a very odd style of playing. I know because I have the same style of playing, even though I don't play like, you know, play the same kind of music or anything. But I do the same backwards picking and, you know, holding the pick in three fingers and all of that shit, the shit that you're told not to do, you know.
Interesting. But, yeah. I mean, what do you think of his music overall? I mean, what do you think some of his...
Excellent. It's excellent. It's just, like, not necessarily always accessible. It's like, gosh, Zorg, what do you think of Prince? Well, you know, gee whiz, he's pretty good. But, you know, I can take him only in small doses.
I see. Yeah, it's hard to, I guess, yeah. I mean, but a lot of Prince's stuff is really weird. Yeah.
Was a fucking genius. Was he a genius? Yeah. He was a fucking genius. What instruments did he play? All of them.
Right.
You know, and he basically reinvented recording, you know, recording techniques. And he was capable of writing any kind of song at all. You know, any kind of song. Hey, Prince, could you write me a pop song that people will buy? Sure. Here's this one that I just wrote called Raspberry Beret. You know, oh, okay. Could you write me something that's like that people aren't going to understand? Sure. Here's another one. You know, could you write a song for Madonna? That's tough. Yeah, here's this one I just wrote called This Is Not a Love Song. I'll even sing on it. And it's the same with Zappa or Beefheart, you know, people like that where, you know, like you're familiar with a certain aspect of their musical oeuvre, if you will. But there's stuff that you listen to and you go, man, I can't get into that. I'm sorry. You know, I can listen to like about 20 minutes of Captain Beefheart without like imploding into a singularity. I can listen to about 30 of Zappa.
I see. All right. Well, so let's get into.
I can listen to about 10 minutes of Prince.
Yeah. Right.
And it doesn't mean, oh, Zorg, you don't like. No, I like him a great deal. I just can't listen to him for very long.
Yeah. I didn't like.
Speaking of underrated guitarists.
He is, yes. He's very underrated.
It's like, whoa, dude, you're really good.
Yeah, he was on that level for sure. Now, what's your favorite Prince song?
Probably. When Doves Cry is like a really incredible song. It's very well written, and his production, of course, is impeccable, and the performance is really good. I'm going to put that up there. I'm going to also say This Is Not a Love Song, the Madonna version, and the Sinead version of Nothing Compares to You, and the aforementioned Raspberry Beret. Which is just like a fantastic, stupid pop song.
Okay. Those are good. Yeah, those are good songs. So what have you seen entertainment-wise that you would recommend to your listeners?
Well, let's see. I've seen a few things. I watched this Nicolas Cage movie, and you know I can't resist it. You know.
Nick Cage is awesome.
I watched this Nicolas Cage movie called Between Worlds, which is amazing. Like, it's amazingly bad. I don't know if I've seen... it's the worst thing he's done since Amos and Andrew, which, you know, that was, you know, close to 30 years ago, Amos and Andrew. It's the one he did with Samuel L. Jackson, the buddy movie, Salt and Pepper buddy movie. This is actually, it might be worse. It's probably worse than that, and it's an inadvertent comedy. Amos and Andrew actually was supposed to be kind of funny. this trucker meets this chick played by Franka Potenti, who can go into a trance when you choke her. Yeah.
Huh.
And she can like kind of go between worlds. Now her daughter has just gotten fucked up in a motorcycle accident and she's in a coma, and she like goes between worlds and tries to intercede for her daughter, and her daughter winds up getting possessed by the deceased wife of the Nicolas Cage character. And by this time he's fucking the mom, but then he winds up fucking the daughter because she's his dead wife. It's just like the movie is just a complete mess. I recommend seeing it just so you know you can see what an
so
awful
bad
movie
it's good.
It is. Yeah, I watched a Netflix film, The Highwaymen, which I do recommend. It's Woody Harrelson and Kevin Costner play the guys who actually caught Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh yeah, I've seen that one. I mean, didn't watch it, but I saw
it's
it
a very
up
good
there.
Movie.
Very
good movie
displayed.
And it coincides with the actual Bonnie and Clyde being back up on Netflix. I saw a movie with Stanley Tucci is kind of the leading figure in the cast. It's called The Silence. It's about these weird critters that basically eat you if you talk. It's okay for what it is. There's something else
Where?
I watched that's very good. What the fuck? I watched it last night and I can't remember what the fuck it was.
It was on Netflix?
Yeah. I've only been watching Netflix like last week. So it had to have been on Netflix, and it's called The Ritual, and it's an English film. I think it might be a remake of something. I'm not sure. I got to look that up. But it's another one of those, you know, like the really scary monster. You know, it's kind of like the monster looks kind of like a miniature version of the Cloverfield monster, whom we never really totally see. But it's a pretty compelling movie. Like you do want to follow it when you're watching it. And then right now I'm watching the Rolling Stones' Olé Olé Olé, which is their Latin America tour.
Oh, cool. How old is that? I mean, in terms of what year was that?
I think
tour?
It's from last year. I think it's from last year.
They're still fucking going strong.
Well, I don't know about going strong, and they don't show all that much concert footage, but they show some interesting conversational bits with them. Mick Jagger is an extremely intelligent guy.
He is.
He always knows what time it is. And, you know, Keith's pretty smart. He's not the money guy like Jagger is, and he's not the more intellectual type. And he's not really the really artistic type like Ronnie Wood is. But, you know, he's Keith's smart too in his own way. He certainly, you know, he knows music.
Yeah, Mick Jagger, I mean, does he play actually any instruments?
Sure.
Oh.
He plays guitar on stage, like a lot. And people are like, "Wow, didn't realize Mick Jagger was that good on guitar." And it's like, dude, well, Keith taught him, and Brian taught him, and he's been doing it since like 1968. So, you know, that's a long time. You know,
yeah.
You do something long enough, and you get at least okay at it. Look at Julia Roberts or Brad Pitt.
That's a good example there. There's also this movie on Netflix called Triple Frontier that I watched. It's pretty good.
I don't know what it is.
It's like with Ben Affleck and a bunch of other guys. The guy from Sons of Anarchy.
I actually, that's next on my list. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, they basically go out and try to steal a drug lord's money. It's pretty good. It's a pretty good movie. So, yeah, I'd recommend that. But I'll definitely check out The Ritual and the Highwaymen. All right, man. So I guess we can wrap this up here. And thanks for coming on. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Zorg, have a good one.
Okay. Bye, kids. Don't do this at home.
Try not to. Peace.